we started off last time talking about the Mishmarot. So we're like about like 10 lines down, right? And we said that the divide into three, right? We had the donkeys. The night has three parts. Right, the night has three parts, and the first is that the donkeys are screaming, chamor no'er, shnia klavim tzakim, the dogs are barking, right? And the third one, tinok yonek mishdeimo visham sepertim bala, the baby is nursing and the woman is speaking to her mother. And then we spoke about what's the idea, what's going on here. And the first mishmora is the donkey, right? The physicality of life, People are still taking care of their physicality, right? The chamor comes from the word chomer because he's like the most physical being. He helps you plow. He can carry everything, right? He's like the horse can gallop, but he's not so strong, right? The donkey literally can do everything. He's just not fast, right? That's the whole idea of the crossbreed between them. A different story, but the crossbreed can't bring any children, so that doesn't really help. So here we're talking about this idea that when do you read Shema night, right? Till the end of the third till the end of the first Mishmer, right? That's how we had earlier on talking about that's till when, right? And the first shita that we said I think it was Rabbi Eliezer, right? He says till the end of the first, right? As the donkeys are screaming, right? And Chachamim said till the Chatzot, so that's the middle of the second, and that is the dogs are screaming. All right, the dog's screaming, right? So we have to understand that the dog in English we say, oh, the dog is man's best friend, like duh, his name is Kalev. Kelev, he's like Kelev, he's like a heart, right? He's the most loyal animal. That's why Adam named him Kelev. And the Kelev, Kalavim Tzoakim, the people who are like their heart, right? Their heart, they're screaming out, right? They're screaming out. This is the time. Chachamim say, you know, till this time, right? Past this time, then it's not really your heart. It's not really your heart screaming out. It's your guilt, it's your this, it's your that, right? The real reality of when a person is allowed to be screaming is till... creating Shema is till then. Now, before we get to the third one, we're just going to read a little bit more of the Gemara to see how they unfold this. So the Gemara says like this. Umay kachashiv Rabbi Eliezer itchilat mishmeret kachashiv. When you say till the mishmaros halayla, he's giving you these signs. Is that the beginning of the periodic time or the end? Because if you want to say the beginning, right? Itchilat mishmeret kachashiv. First, if you want to say the beginning, why do I need a sign for the beginning of the Mishmer? Why? Because what's the beginning of the night? Sunset, right? And therefore, right? Or sunset. So therefore, I don't need a sign. You don't have to tell me the donkeys are screaming. I know, because I have. So it might not be. It must be the end. But if you want to say that if you want to tell me that it's the end, then why do I need for the last period? The last period, I know when it ends. When does it end? When the day starts, right? So you're telling me, oh, there are three different mishmaro. There are three different periods in the night. The first one, donkeys are screaming. The second one, dogs are barking. The third one, mothers are nursing. Great. Are you talking about is that sign the beginning or the end? If you want to say the beginning, then you don't have to tell me about the donkeys because I already know when the beginning of the first period starts. That's when the sun sets. If you want to tell me no, it's the sign for the end, then I don't have to tell. Then of course you don't have to tell me because the end, I know when it ends. When the sun rises. Ella chashiv sof mishmar rishona v'tchilat mishmar achrona v'emtza diem tziuta. No, I will tell you. The donkeys are barking, are screaming at the end of the first one. Dogs and the mothers are nursing in the beginning of the last one, and the dogs are barking in the middle of the middle one. Right? Now, what would be the deal with that? Right? Because here, then I could solve the problem. It says, "V'ibay tu kulo usof mishmarot kachashiv v'chitei ma'achrona lo tzarich l'mayin af kamina l'mikri kriyat shema l'man degani b'ayis afel v'lo yadaz man kriyat shema." If you're going to tell me that the end of the first one and the beginning of the last one and the middle of the middle one, right, which really condenses it to a very small time, right? Like we're really talking about, say, the end of the last, you're talking about they're divided into three, either 4 hours of each, right? So the last of the 4 hours is when the dogs start barking, right? The middle of the second hour of the second period is when the dogs are barking, and the beginning of the third period is when the the women are nursing. So really talking about a span of 4 hours, right? So like, you're not really, you're trying to break up the night so beautifully, and yet you're really only telling me signs for like a really 4 hour shift, right? Like, you know, let's say the night begins at 8, so at 12, the dogs are, the donkeys are screaming, right? And then at 2, it's when the dogs are screaming, and then at 4 is when the women are nursing. Like, you didn't really give me like a beautiful idea, so we're gonna go back to saying it's the end. The donkeys are barking. The donkeys are screaming at midnight, and the dogs are barking at 4 a.m. and the women are nursing at 8 a.m. If we're talking about 8 to 8, okay, period. So why do you have to tell me when the women are nursing? For a person who's living in a dark house, right? Not everybody has windows. Today we have glass windows, it's very easy to, but back in the day, not especially if you lived in North America, you live somewhere where it's cold, why would you have windows? Windows that would be, what?
You can't just look outside, really? That was such a big thing with no windows.
Not every room had windows, right? So your bedroom, usually you want it to be very dark, right? And isolated, right? So maybe the living room had windows, but you're sleeping in a room, or you're living underground. Some people are living in the basement, right? Not necessarily you have windows. So that would be the case. So that's the same question you just asked. Really? This whole situation is only talking about a situation where a person is living in a room where there's no windows and he can't even see a light outside? Like, that's the whole idea? So Gemara says, Eimat, really? Kevan de isham saperitim ba'ala, v'tinokin yishdeimo, likum v'likri. Sorry. So then when he hears the chatter from the neighbors, that a woman is the baby's already crying, the woman's getting up to nurse her, the husband and the woman are talking, then he knows that it's morning time, even though he didn't see sunrise. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Shmuel Mishmei Derav Kiyom Mishmarot Havei Laila Bekol Mishmar V'Mishmar Yosheva Kadosh Baruch Hu V'Shoei Kari. There's three periods in the time, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is roaring like a lion at each one of them. He says, Oy lebanim shebevnotam ichravti et beiti v'sarafti techali v'igliti leben amot. Oh, to my children, that because of them I had to break down my house and burn it and send them out to exile. Right? So what are we saying? Before we get to the Rabbi Yitzchak talking about why there are three periods that God is screaming, is saying that. The last period we said the first time is the physicality. People who are still in touch with physicality, instead of going to sleep, you're going out there and you're trying to get, you know, your last little money that you're trying to make. Or we're talking about people who are, you know, their heart is just burning out to God because, like, you know, like at the end of the day, they're feeling in the middle of the night that they need to get close to Hashem. Or what does it mean that the babies are nursing? So remember, who do we say that says you can read till the morning? Rabban Gamliel. Gamliel. The word gmila in Hebrew means to wean, to stop nursing, right? So Avram does a only once in his life he does a party. And that's Biyom Hi Gamel Titzchak, when Yitzchak stops nursing. When he's gamal, right?
Grow a cow.
Right? But gamal is also gamal, right? Why is a gamal called gamal? Because a gamal, you give him water once, he's weaned off. That's it. You don't have to take care of him for a long time, right? You give him water once, and for a week, he's good,
yeah.
Right? So he's the ultimate gamal. He's the ultimate, like, you just give him once, right? When a person is done, right? That's why so gemilut chasadim is called gemilut chasadim, because the real true chesed in Judaism is putting somebody on his feet, making it that he doesn't need to beg anymore. He has his own money, right? So that's the gemilut chasadim, is to be gomel him from chesed, to wean him off of needing chesed by putting him on his feet, right? So gamliel, the person who's becoming self-sufficient. That's what Rabban Gamliel says, you know, at the end of the day, right? Of course, Chachamim meant said, you know, but even a person who's later, and he forgot, or he didn't get around to it, and he's able to do it, even though he doesn't need reminders. He doesn't need reminders. He's self-sufficient. That's the kind of person. So when a woman's waking, getting up to nurse the baby's not yet weaned off. That's when you should wake up and say, whoa. Right? If by then you're already out. By then you're already out. Right? If the baby's already nursing, that means that you haven't been weaned off. You still need a reminder. Right? Then you can't read anymore. You can't read anymore. So you haven't been weaned off. And the beautiful thing is that the Gemara says, that a woman is nursing her baby, a husband is talking to his wife. So you would say, why do I need two? Well, I'll tell you what. Not everybody has a baby, right? So if you're living in a place where you don't have a baby, it's okay, the husband and wife, they're getting up, they're talking. But there's a beautiful idea. And beautiful, more beautiful idea is that when a woman is waking up to nurse the baby, the husband is waking up to keep the wife company. Today, the wife would let you sleep. She has her phone. She has her. Mm-hmm. She's scrolling on Facebook at 2 in the morning. Back in the day, dark room, woman wakes up to feed the baby. You wake up and talk to her. Right? The beauty of your ability to wake up to provide for somebody else is your ability to wake up and realize that you also need to provide for somebody else, and that's take care of calling out to God. Right? So the three different shitos, Rabbi Eliezer, God is helping me, the Chachamim Koach Ma, and the Gamliel, God is also there for me because I am self-sufficient, because I'm dependent, are the three Mishmarot. And at those times, God screams and says, come on, guys. Like, if your heart is really pouring out to me, then come on, love him talking. Let's do it. Let's get it over with, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu, more than us, is sad about the destruction, right? Mm-hmm. Right? And that's what it is, right? When we're crying on Tisha B'Av, we're not complaining to God. We're in his pain. We're suffering with him, right? God is the one that really didn't want to destroy the house. He built this house so there's a place for us to meet, and we didn't respect that, so we lost it. And as the Gemara says, God cries, and he's like a lion, right? He's shoei kari, he's roaring like a lion. And he says, Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yosi pa machat hayti me'alech baderech v'nichnasti lachur v'achat michur v'os Yerushalayim leitpalel ba elei ozachur latov v'shamar adei lepetach ad shesiyamti tefilati. So one time, Rabbi says, I was walking in the way, and I wanted to daven, so I went into a ruin to daven, and Eliyahu Navi came and stood by the wood ruin to safeguard me. And when I came out, lachar shesiyamti tefilati, amar li shalom alecha, Rabbi, hey Rabbi, and I said to him, shalom alecha, marivi Rabbi, you're my Rabbi, amar li bni, why'd you go in? Amar li itpalel to daven, amar li hayalecha itpalel baderech, no, you should daven on the way. I was afraid that maybe people on the way would bother me and stop me from davening. Should have davened a short tefillah. And that day, I learned three things. I learned three things. One is that you daven on you can't go into a ruin. Two is that you can't that you should daven on the way. And three, then when you daven on the way, you should daven a short tefillah. Okay.
It's better to do it on the way than to stop, that's what he's saying?
No, it means to stop on the way, right? It means stop at the bus stop, you're waiting for the bus, daven. Yeah, is it going to be great? You're davening for the bus stop? What if I'm going to be constantly waiting for the bus to come? Then I'm going to... Okay, so daven quickly. Daven a very fast tefillah, okay? Or ktsara, whatever that means in this connotation. But it's not by chance that we're talking about three things, right? And we just finished talking about three things. It's not by chance that we just talked about God, hechravti et beiti, and here we're talking about going into a churva, right? What churva? This is not just a churva. This is a churva of, as Rabbi Yossi says, achat mi churvot Yerushalayim. Right? Chat Yerushalayim. So there's a ruin of Jerusalem, which obviously is associated with the God destroying the temple. Right? So we just said there are three things, and God says that He is now crying over the destruction of the temple. Right? These are the times he cries over the destruction of the temple. Rabbi Yosef Gilui went into the destruction. Right? Rabbi Yosef Gilui is trying to daven within that place of the destruction. God's crying over the destruction. Rabbi Yossi is saying, I want to dive in there. And what is the Eliyahu telling them? No. I don't want you diving in there. That's not the place for you to dive in. You have to allow God to be in his pain. Right? Don't go into that churva to dive in. Allow that place to be empty. And even if you're afraid that the journey is going to stop you, right? So existentially, he doesn't mean the derech, he means the journey. I'm on a journey. What about exile? Right? Eliyahu is telling him, you can't cling on to the temple. God destroyed it. Let it go. Let it go. Right? Like so many people, like they're holding on to the kotel, like with dear life. Like, oh my God, we can't allow women to dive in there because it's the kotel. It's the ruin. Right? We're on a way. We're on a journey. That's the journey. Allow yourself to be in the journey. But if I'm going to daven in the journey, people are going to, so daven, short tefillah, right? Short tefillah. And Rashi says, Shol Tfila, Havinenu, right? So we're going to explain what Havinenu means, but Havinenu literally just means, give me guidance. Give me Bina, from the word Bina, right? Havinenu, give us understanding of how to understand this reality, right? How to understand what we are supposed to do on this journey. I'm on this journey. And he told me, you have to daven.
It's too loud, Shachar.
The command mefaresh b'tfilas shachar in the perek tfilas shachar in perek revi on daf kaftet, it's going to explain what avinenu is. It's going to go into depth into what is avinenu, and it's like an abridged version of all 18 brachos together.
Okay.
And it's like, but in short, just what it means is, give me knowledge. I'm on the journey. I don't understand. And Rabbi Yosef says, I learned three things. One, don't go into the churba. Stop trying to hold on to broken, shattered axiomas, right? That's the chomer, that's the chomriut, right? The chomer, chamor no'er. There's the donkey who has the physicality, trying to hold on to the physicality. But the day's over, go to bed. No, I need to work a little more. I need to do the night shift, right? And what's the thing? The journey, right? The next thing is that he learned is that you should daven on your journey, like the dogs. The dogs are screaming, why? Because my heart is broken. Why am I heart broken? Because I'm on the journey. I want to be there already, but I'm not there yet. Okay. And the third is tefillah ktzara, right? Daven a tefillah ktzara, which associates directly with, as we said, the weaning, right? If you haven't been weaned off yet, that's the end of the third pillar is when the mother's nursing, right? Till then, it's those who have been weaned off are still sleeping, right? So if you're still attached to your emotions, how you feel about davening, so you want it to be long and lengthy and feel good. But if you're weaning off this like external relationship, then daven strong, right? Like the Ger Chassidim, they daven very, 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 very fast. And when they asked the Ger Rebbe, why do you guys daven very fast? Said, it's like a moving train. It moves so fast, you can't climb on. We don't want the bad thoughts to climb onto our davening. So we daven, we speed through it. Right? Now, there are people that speed through it without preparing for an hour. The Ger Chassidim prepare for an hour. Right? They meditate for an hour. And then they go,
is that
right?
The ones where it was like, ha-chafim, harishim, hayushim,
right. So that's the Gemara. But here, like, right, the Ger Chassidim, they don't daven really quickly and get it over with in 5 minutes. They daven for an hour and a half.
They prepare,
so it's condensed. Okay. It's compressed, right? Okay. So the tefillah tzara doesn't mean that I don't take care, right? But if I still care about what other people think about me, if I'm still like, you know, if I'm not self-sufficient yet, then I'm afraid to daven quickly, right? People are going to look at me like, why are you diving so fast? What's going on here? Yeah. Right? What's wrong, right? So three things. Okay. And then he says, V'amar li bni, ma kol shamata b'churva, what did you hear in the ruin? Amar li shamati bat kol menahemet kayona, like a dove. Direct quote from before. But what do we say? Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he says this, what is he doing? Remember? Shoei Ka'ari. He's roaring like a lion. And what does Rabbi Yossi hear? A dove. Right? So like God is screaming like a lion. Like he's literally like at the top of his lungs. Anybody could hear me. And for Rabbi Yossi, He hears this dove. Now, in a second, we're going to get into all the animals that have been mentioned here, because I think, like, you know, they're yes, it's brachot and it's an agricultural gemara, but it's not by chance that these animals are all mentioned. The donkey, the dog, the lion, I would say the human, right? The human, the lion, and the dove. But let's see what Elianavi says back to him. Amar li chayecha v'chayei roshcha. Ah, he says you're a dead man, buddy. You're a dead man. Lo shazo bilvadu meret kach. Not only now. Ela b'chol yom b'yom. Shalosh p'ayim meret kach. 3 times a day, this voice comes out. Ve'lo zu bilvad. Ela b'shashri s'chassin b'tik nesit b'tei midrashot. When the Jewish people are going into shoals and bein midrash. And they say, Yehei shmei rabah mevorach. Kadosh Baruch Hu mina ne'a rosho ve'omer. Kadosh Baruch Hu is what? Shaking his head. Right? Now, shake with please or with displease. Yes. Right? Well, we'll see in a second. Right? He's shaking his head and saying, Ashrei HaMelech Shemekal Sinoto BeBeitokach. How lucky is the king who is being praised like this. Malo Le'av Sheglad Banav. Oh, go to the son, to the father who shoo his son. And woe is to the kids who were thrown out of their house. Okay. So he's like, it's like, oh, what a great is the king who is being mentioned like this. But how sad that it's not in the Beit HaMikdash. Right?
This is what God say?
Yeah. Okay. Right. This is what Yanavi's telling him. That's what God says. Right? When they go into, because not only that is the Kadosh Baruch Hu crying and saying, oh my God, I destroyed my temple. But every time they say, hey Shmei Rabbi, he says, what a beautiful praise, if only it was said in the temple. Right? I say to you, say to me, Yonatan, you influenced me so much. And I say, if only you would say that in the survey. Right? That would be the answer. Right? Like, thank you. My mom's number is, okay, 0506, you know, like text her, right? Like, if only it was said in right? So we have here this reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is totally engaged in our journey. Right? And when we're going into the Beit Midrash, into the Shul, instead of going to Beit HaMikdash, which is a churva, right? So we see here that this nighttime, it's not in the nighttime only in the sense of sunset. This is the exile. This is the people are on their journey. The Jerusalem's in ruins, right? We don't have the Beit HaMikdash. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is screaming. And the first third of our exile, it was all about physicality, the crusaders were ransacking everything, right? And then the second part was what? It was all about our being, you know, kicked out and our heart is constantly yearning to Jerusalem. We got expelled from Babylon. We got expelled from Worms and Vermiza by the crusaders. We got expelled from Spain, right? And the third part is us becoming self-sufficient. Right? And we can create for ourselves, right? And God is so much so that the leading religion in the world is the we don't need God religion. Look at us. You think we need God? We can create people. We can create organisms. We can create, right? I mean, was it not the Israeli Jews who invented the first heart that was made artificially and can pump and work and right? It's like we're so self-sufficient, we don't need God, right? If only we understood that self-sufficient is Gamliel. Why am I self-sufficient? Because God weaned me off. God has been weaning us off from miracles, right? Mm-hmm. Was the Six-Day War a miracle? Define miracle, then we can have the conversation. Mm-hmm. Was it an Egypt miracle? No, but when do we say Al-Nisim? Hanukkah and Purim, man-made. That's Al-Nisim. Those are the miracles. When God gives me the power to do it. I don't say Al-Nisim on Pesach, but wait, weren't there great miracles?
Man, yeah. Go down, yeah.
Right, man, we don't mention that. We don't care about that. Huh? Was the Six-Day War a miracle? Good, define miracle. Right? Hanukkah miracle? Purim miracle? 100%. Pesach miracle? Nope. But we're being weaned off that. So much so that we can have an argument if it was a miracle or not. Okay? Is the sun rising a miracle or not? Okay? Quantum mechanics tells you the fact that there's a floor underneath your feet. That's a miracle. Right? So the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, what they called a miracle 100 years ago, we call science. We call a miracle today. They're going to call science in 100 years. Mm-hmm. So either everything's a miracle or nothing's a miracle, and that's up to you.
Relative to time.
Right. To be continued.